Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Lee Zeldin has been confirmed as the head of the EPA, and he's going to reform that agency, I hope. Senator Bob Menendez sentenced to 11 years in prison. And the Justice Department may drop the case against Eric Adams. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. It is our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. I will get into, in case you're just joining us, I'll give a little recap of the RFK hearing and the Lincoln Riley Act signing a little bit later in the show. But there's so many other things I got to get to because it's been a very busy day. And this is the big story of the hour right now, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. So you have the audio of Menendez begging Trump for a pardon. Is that right?
Yeah. This was right after he got out of court.
Oh, you see, I didn't even realize we had the audio of that. All right, excellent. So today, New Jersey Senator and scumbag, corrupt bastard, Bob Menendez, who everybody knew was guilty for years and years, but you're allowed to be corrupt if you're a Democrat, as I explained earlier in the show, so I'm not going to rehash the whole segment, but right after he was sentenced today in court to 11 years in prison, here he is basically begging Trump to pardon him. Take a listen.
Welcome to the Southern District of New York, the Wild West of political prosecutions. President Trump is right. This process is political, and it's corrupted to the core. I hope President Trump cleans up the cesspool and restores the integrity to the system.
Are you going to ask for a pardon?
Are you
going to
ask for a pardon? Are you seeking a pardon, Senator Menendez?
You know, we may have to get our buddy Andy McCarthy on because he was the assistant United States attorney for the second district, the Southern District of New York. I'd like to find out his thoughts on what Senator Menendez is suggesting about that district. But there you go. The rule is, of course, if you're a Democrat, you're allowed to be corrupt until you cross them. Menendez crossed them. I went into detail about that earlier. That's why he's there. And yeah, Eric Adams, who is going to work with Trump on deportations. And they've already gone. ICE has gone into New York. ICE has gone into New York, and they've already picked up over 1,000, might be as high as 1,000 already. Not in New York total, but into New York City. And they picked up the head of the local Trende Aragua, like the local division of that. And, you know, the New York City mayor's not saying a word. If you notice that, he's not stepping in there. He's not doing what the mayor of Chicago is doing. You want a difference? You want what the mayor of Chicago is doing? Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson vows to continue to protect illegal aliens in Chicago. This is what this guy's doing. This is the difference. Just to give you like a side-by-side comparison of what Chicago and New York are doing. And we haven't heard anything from the mayor of Philadelphia on this. So, you know, actually, I think we played that clip the other day, so I'll skip it right now. But I think it's very obvious that these Democrat mayors need to get in line here, and Democrat governors and Democrat attorneys general. Oh, you know who was great? Stephen Miller again today, dropping the hammer on Jake Tapper. Jake Tapper tried to ask him a question on illegal immigration, and I tell you, Miller's bright, man. Stephen Miller, this guy's good. You better when you come at him, you better go be ready because he's smart and he's a lot smarter than Jake Tapper. I'm sorry, but cut 17.
Jobs many Americans do not want to do. So,
How does President Trump make sure that the effort to deport people who are not in this country legally doesn't end up hurting Americans who want safe borders, absolutely, but also don't want to see even more higher prices in groceries?
Well, I mean, I'm sure it's not your position, Jake, you're just asking the question, that we should supply America's food with exploitative illegal alien labor. I obviously don't think that's what you're implying. Only 1% of alien workers in the entire country work in agriculture. The top destination for illegal aliens are large cities like New York, like Los Angeles, and small industrial towns, of course, all across the heartland, as we've seen with the Biden floods. Mm-hmm. None of those illegal aliens are doing farm work. Those 30,000 illegal aliens that Joe Biden dumped into Springfield.
Yeah, I'm talking about the ones that are.
No, but I'm explaining this. It's important to understand.
No, you're kind of changing the subject. I mean, I'm talking about the ones.
I will go. Give me 30 minutes. I'll go as deep as you want on this.
I'm talking about the ones that work in the agriculture industry.
You can come back and talk about
the ones in the cities. I swear.
I'll do the whole answer. The illegal aliens that Joe Biden brought into our country are not full stop doing farm work.
It's amazing, and I like how he said that too. I'm sure it's not your position, Jake. You're just asking the question that you think it's okay to keep illegal migrant labor supplying, you know, our agricultural needs. I like how he turned that around on him. I want to get into this issue of DEI in the military because it's great. The Free Press has a great story about this, and you might have seen this guy on Fox News earlier today. This gentleman, who is black, retired Air Force Brigadier General Christopher Mookie Walker, said diversity is great, but you can't sacrifice meritocracy. And a Free Press investigation reveals the extraordinary extent to which our armed forces put diversity over readiness. Pete Hegseth says that's about to change. And Walker, retired Air Force Brigadier General Christopher Walker, 59 years old, spent almost 2 years as a senior advisor to the Air Force's Office of Diversity and Inclusion at the Pentagon, attending dozens of meetings about implementing DEI initiatives. This was an unusual role given Walker's career path. He had over 400 hours of combat flights and most recently had overseen West Virginia's Air National Guard. But in 2021, when the Air Force established its Office of Diversity and Inclusion, staffers assumed that Walker would be on board with their belief that DEI was a warfighting imperative. Why? Because Walker's black. But that assumption was wrong. So Walker became a mole. Alarmed by DEI programs that were little more, in his view, than Soviet indoctrination, he leaked information to an organization called Stand Together Against Racism and Radicalism in the Services, STARS. This group consists of retired military veterans and civilians who oppose woke ideology in the military. They, in turn, alerted lawmakers like Senator Tom Cotton, Representative Mike Waltz, about what they were hearing from Walker and other active duty service members who opposed the military's diversity policies. No one delved into how I thought, Walker told the Free Press. They took one look at me and assumed I believed these things. I learned to listen and had to bite my tongue a lot. He prefers to go by his pilot call sign, Mookie, took notes and mostly kept his head down so he could keep reporting what was going on. I thought, if this is allowed to stand, all of the senior people within the Department of Defense are going to bring along this propaganda and get rid of anybody who doesn't go along with it. He recalled a private meeting in 2022 attended by generals and other key Pentagon staffers. At the meeting, Alex Wagner, the Air Force Assistant Secretary, asked the group to brainstorm ways to get the general public to accept drag shows on Air Force bases. Close to retirement and with nothing to lose, Mookie finally spoke up and said, quote, I reminded the group that since the 1980s, the Air Force has not allowed lingerie shows. They don't allow burlesque shows. So why would we allow drag shows? His comments seemed to have an effect. In June of 2023, the Department of Defense officially banned drag shows on military installations. But that was the exception, not the rule. In 2022, he recalls attending a training course at Georgetown University for Air Force generals and senior officers called Managing for Inclusion. The professor informed the group that white people were oppressors and black and Hispanic people were the oppressed. so therefore they couldn't be racist. The professor also taught the class how to ask someone for their pronouns at the beginning of a conversation. He said the whole thing was old-fashioned propaganda, but there were generals, including Lieutenant General Mary O'Brien, now retired, and Lieutenant General Leah Lauterbach, and higher-ranked people within this course who were going along with it, clapping like trained SEALs. Oh, by the way, just a quick update on Menendez. His wife, Nadine, who again killed somebody with her car and was able to leave the scene of the accident without even a breathalyzer, her trial will begin in March. So it'll be interesting to see what Menendez is willing to give up. He'll sell her out. Oh, my God. That guy, he'll throw her to the bus, sell her out in a heartbeat. You kidding? No doubt. With the arrival of Donald Trump as president, back to the article here at the Free Press, Pete Hegseth as the new Secretary of Defense, the days of asking soldiers for their preferred pronouns appear to be over. Immediately after taking office, Trump signed an executive order putting an end to all DEI programs in the federal government. On Monday evening, he announced that he would issue another series of executive orders that would include the elimination of critical race theory and transgender ideology from the military. And in his first interview, Pete Hegseth said, "My job is to reflect those lawful orders from President Trump throughout the chain of command. Those orders," he added, "are to remove all aspects of DEI, including trying to mirror it, rename it, or delay those tactics." And the piece is incredibly extensive. I mean, I don't have the time to read it on the air. I highly recommend you look it up. It's at thefp.com. Madeline Rowley, who actually, Matt, we should try to get her on the show. This is an excellent piece. Goes into a very, very extensive piece on this and really gets into just how close we were. Even the Army's elite Green Berets weren't immune from the effects of DEI. Master Sergeant Earl Plumley, a Green Beret and Medal of Honor recipient who retired late last year after 25 years of service, said he was required to take annual DEI training online. He also said that Richard Torres Estrada, who was reportedly suspended in 2021 for comparing Trump to Adolf Hitler in a Facebook post, was brought back to the Green Berets for the sole purpose of getting minorities to try out for special forces. It was very divisive because we consider ourselves the last meritocracy. If you're a Green Beret, there's only one metric for success, and that's success. So you have this diversity discussion. You're just bringing an argument with no empirical facts. It's like, why are they bringing this to work? This is not a professional conversation. I mean, having guys explain their take on why their demographic has been struggling, like, bro, everybody wanted you here. You met the metric. You've met the standards. You're considered a standout performer across the board, and you're being rewarded for it, right? What shackles are holding you back? You're a Green Beret. So there's a lot to this piece, and we'll try to get the author on the show, but I just wanted to share that with you because I really thought it was excellent. And on that point of DEI, President Trump has signed a number of executive orders on the issue, including, most recently, trying to divert as much federal money as he possibly can for the purposes of school choice, and also trying to end DEI and all this other crap in schools. So let me tell you what he did. Ending radical indoctrination in K through 12 schools. This is something the White House put out in an executive order that was posted today by the White House. And good. I mean, we should take this crap out of the classroom. Any school caught doing this will be stripped of their funding. The madness ends now. And like, they have a picture of a bunch of kids, probably my daughter Reagan's age. They look to be 5 years old, maybe all holding up their pride flags. These kids don't know what the hell that is. That's purely just indoctrination. That's all that is. So Trump's executive order will strip funding from K through 12 schools who indoctrinate students with radical gender ideology. It will also protect parents' rights. A lot of schools were just put on notice. And Libs of TikTok, the founder over there, is vowing that she will expose any school that violates the executive order. We will do the same. So that's going to be our job going forward, for all of us to be able to report on the radical indoctrination that are happening in our kids' and grandkids' schools. Here's some of the language from that executive order by the president. Eliminating federal funding or support for illegal and discriminatory treatment and indoctrination in K through 12 schools, including based on gender ideology and discriminatory equity ideology, and protecting parental rights pursuant to FERPA 20 USC, blah, 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 with respect to any K through 12 policies or conducted implicated by the purpose and policy of this order. Now, In Colorado, there's a school there called the Durango School District, which voted unanimously to adopt an LGBTQ++, every letter of the alphabet, resolution that allows students to use the bathroom of choice, allows pride flags in schools, and allows teachers to express their sexual orientation, gender identity, and personal lives with students, which, of course, violates Trump's executive order. I mean, it really is a moment of reckoning here. And the question will be, how quickly will the left embrace school choice? Because think about it. Every school gets federal dollars. I mean, every public school in America gets a form of federal dollars. I can't imagine how one doesn't. So they'll be stripped of their funding if they don't drop this DEI crap, this equity crap, the indoctrination crap, all of it, the whole thing. Everything they're trying to do, the pornography books in the classroom with our kids and drag shows with our kids and all this stuff, right? Or lose their federal funds. So for a lot of people on the left, I guess they'll start sending their kids to woke private schools that don't accept federal dollars so that they can keep the indoctrination going. But will the Democrat Party battle the teachers union on this issue and say that they support school choice so that they can get their kids out of those cruel public schools that won't let them have drag shows because of Trump's mean executive order? I don't know, but I like it. I like it a lot. And I think it's good to know that this battle is happening right now. I really do. I think it's excellent. Trump's executive order, sending as many federal education funds as possible towards school choice, also came out today as well. You know, we've talked about this with Corey DeAngelis a lot on the show, and he's been a big proponent on school choice. The school choice movement in general, and it's very fitting. This is National School Choice Week. I believe it's this week. It might have been last week. I'm not exactly sure, but I think this is a huge priority for the president as well. So that's also great. There's only so much he can do here as president. But signing an executive order, as many federal education dollars as possible towards school choice, is a really, really great start. So that's excellent stuff as well. And I also wanted to mention to you as well a couple of other news items. And like I said, I'll get into the just do a recap on Kennedy and also Lake and Riley in a couple minutes. But this is excuse me, pardon me. This is a important note here. The battle of DEI and these companies. So Reverend Al, and I really hate playing any audio of the guy, but there are a lot of companies out there, like Costco, who support DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. You see a lot of companies now that are bannering this. And I think everybody can make the choice with their taxpayer dollars, right? I mean, I was joking earlier about the Pride onesies, but if you don't like the fact that Target sells those things, you don't have to shop there. So if you don't like the fact that a store is engaged in that nonsense, you don't have to spend your dollars there. You can vote with your feet. Listen, if Reverend Al wants to lead a buy-in at companies who support DEI, knock yourself out. Go ahead. But at the same time, I don't have to spend my money there. And corporate America is waking up to this part. Robbie Starbuck has done a great job of exposing these companies and all of the things that they do with their DEI programs. So since it's a free country, you have the right to shop where you want. Here's Reverend Al outside of a big Costco, cut 24.
Corporations came forward and said, we're going to do diversity. We're going to do this because race needs to be dealt with. And Donald Trump to be able to cancel a commitment they made is an outright affront to the black community, brown community, LGBTQ, the gay community that they committed to. So that is why we will stand with those that stand with us. Costco's immediately stepped out and said that they will not back off DEI. On last Monday, Martin Luther King holiday, I announced that for 90 days we're going to research the company that we find that has made the most affront we would call a boycott. But today we are calling a buy-in. I have bought 100 people $25 gift certificates. We're going shopping in Costco because they've stood with us.
That's enough. All right, so there you go. That's enough. Thank you. So fine. Okay, listen. If those programs are important to you as a consumer, shop away. But I think corporate America is waking up to the fact that this is nonsense and divisive, and it makes the workplace uncomfortable. And the job of a company is to make money and hiring the best people and not pushing this nonsense. Because remember, DEI is really not about hiring black people or Hispanic people. It's about pushing a socialist agenda, pushing this idea that there's the oppressed and the oppressors. It is a socialist ideology. It is not about making sure. Because where are these racist companies who are refusing to hire black people out there? Or brown people or anything else? I mean, where are they? I know a lot of white dudes in their 50s who are terrified about losing their job. No, the DEI, like climate change, like all these are socialist plots. I know it sounds conspiratorial, but it's not. To transform and to defeat capitalism. You can believe me or not, but you know I'm always right about this stuff. That's what's happening. And we talk to Dr. Wilfred Riley about this every week. And we'll talk to Dr. Wilfred Riley about this on Friday. I couldn't hear the exact number, Matt. So what was it, $25?
Yeah, he was giving out $25 gift cards, but he can
$25
afford a lot more.
Costco gift cards, right?
Yeah, but he can afford a lot more because he famously sold the rights to his life story to his own charity for $531,000.
To his own charity. Well, that was very, very nice of him.
Very generous. He's very generous to himself.
Yeah. Very generous to do that to his charity, to sell it to his charity for $531,000. What an angel who walks among us. Unbelievable. All right, so waiting confirmation vote, Pam Bondi, Tulsi Gabbard, Kash Patel. The big news today, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com, is that Lee Zeldin has been confirmed. It looks like Doug Burgum's vote tomorrow will go through. But the contentious hearing for Kash Patel will be tomorrow. We'll be all over it for you, don't worry, just like we were all over and will be on Bobby Kennedy. We'll see what happens. I'll catch up on that if you just catch it on the show. I know you might be just getting out of work or something, so I'll give you some highlights of that coming up. But that is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. And coming back, Trump signs the Laken Riley Act. Bobby Kennedy has I think he did a great job today, but he does battle a lot of very contentious lefties in the Senate. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right. Well, it was a big day today. It sure was. The signing of the Laken Riley Act, the confirmation hearing for Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and, of course, the smear campaign against Tulsi Gabbard. Welcome back as we continue our fourth and final hour here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD, 855-839-1210, on X at Rich Zeoli. A lot to talk about today. It's been a busy, busy day for us. So, you know, I don't know what to tell you other than every day is going to be like this, as I've been saying to you. So, first of all, I know I spent a lot of time on the show today on Bobby Kennedy's confirmation hearing. And, you know, if you're just joining me, certainly go back and listen to the podcast. My favorite exchange by far, Bernie Sanders onesie, without question. Not even a question, just the Bernie Sanders onesie. And I mean, it's just epic gold. It's gold. I'm not going to redo the whole bit. I can't, for the purposes of just keeping things just sane in my brain. But if you missed it earlier, please go back and listen to it. I'll just play. Bernie had onesies in the background behind him. And onesies. And just listen to this.
I think the gist of what you were trying to say today is you're really pro-vaccine. You want to ask questions. You have started a group called the Children's Health Defense. You're the originator. Right now, as I understand it, on their website, they are selling what's called onesies. These are little things, clothing for babies. One of them is titled Unfaxed, Unafraid. Next.
First of all, it's unvaxxed. unafraid, but Bernie says unfaxed. Like the baby's not using a fax machine and is very not afraid of the fact that he's not using a fax machine. And by the way, for those under the age of 30, a fax machine is, never mind, it doesn't matter. Just keep, I don't even know how to explain it. I still don't understand the technology to this day, as a matter of fact. I mean, you put a piece of paper in and it magically appeared on the other side somehow. And it went through the airwaves and then formed again on the other side of a machine. It was just remarkable. I don't know how they did it. And I just assumed at the time of fax machines that they would do that with people. I'd be able to fax myself somewhere. I know there's been movies about that, but I just wanted to fax myself somewhere. Like, they were busting my chops this morning on the morning show about the fact that I never go in the studio anymore. And thank you, Dawn, for coming to my defense. Yes, facing a life-threatening injury of a staph infection. You know what the doctor, the nurse came to the house today, by the way, just real quick. Side note, as my brain gets distracted, as you know, and it's been a very long show here as we're coming on to almost 7 o'clock. A nurse came to the house. You know what the nurse said today? Said, staph infections never go away. You just beat the bacteria down and hope that it doesn't come back, but it doesn't ever really go away. So I'm going to have a staph infection in my foot for the rest of my life. He said, because it's a bone infection, which I thought I didn't have, but it turns out I do have. Which is why some people just, you know, do a straight chop off. Because then you cut out all the bacteria. And look, there's no guarantee that that won't happen. It was a bummer, man, to hear that. You know, he has to come over every week and change the dressings because I have this PICC line in my arm and I do the, like right after the show, for example, go upstairs, have dinner with the kiddos. Well, they already ate because it's almost, it'll be 7 o'clock by then. But they already ate. But I'll hang out and see them and catch up on their day and stuff. And then at about 8 o'clock, after we do bedtime with the girls, Bridget will help me do my antibacterial infusion. But I just assumed this thing was going to kill the bacteria. You know what I mean? I thought it was going to be out of the woods. But no, not necessarily. And these things could wake up again in like 10 years. So I'm not going to get involved in the whole microplastic rage. I know everybody's freaking out about microplastics. I did appreciate the fact that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. today brought up the fact that there's mercury in fish and that at one point was a concern. And by the way, looking at Cheryl Hines, who I really have major respect for the fact that Cheryl Hines was there with her her husband, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. there today. But there's a whole famous episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm where Larry's trying to figure out where to go to lunch and they can't figure out where to go to lunch. You know what I mean? And he's like, they're getting fish. And he's like, I've been reading so much about the mercury levels. I don't really want to go as mercury, you know? Like now, if you bring that up, like everybody at one point was talking about that and was a major concern. And they said to pregnant women, don't eat fish because of the mercury levels. Now they're saying don't eat fish because of the microplastics. All I know is that, you know, they come after Bobby Kennedy and they assign him this label of conspiracy theorist, which he did a great job with Tom Tillis defending. But I mean, it's a legitimate point. But anyway, I'm not going to get distracted by microplastics and mercury when I got to deal with the freaking staph infection. You know what I mean? So anyway, I got that going for me, which is nice. All right, back to Bernie and so he's got these pictures of these onesies behind him, and it's just glorious.
Defense. You're the originator. Right now, as I understand it, on their website, they are selling what's called onesies. These are little things, clothing for babies. One of them is titled Unfaxed, Unafraid.
Unfaxed.
Next one, and they're sold for
$26. Don't you love that? I'm sorry. I know. I keep stopping it. But don't you love that? Unfaxed and unafraid. I just can't get enough of it. I'm sorry. I can't. It's too funny. All right, like I said, you got to go back and you got to listen to the whole bit because I just can't reenact it now. It took so much energy earlier in the show today. So President Trump signing the Laken Riley Act, which, look, I thought was a really, really key point today that, the president made a lot of very important remarks regarding the Laken Riley Act.
And tax dollar.
I think that part of the key of what he was saying when he did the signing today was that, you know, We have to deal with the problem of illegal immigrants. We have to deal with this real true crisis. And John Fetterman was applauding him. And John Fetterman put out the following statement on X. I'm going to share it with you right now. because I think it's really important that you know this. And like I told you, don't get your hopes up. Fetterman's not going to become a Democrat or Republican anytime soon. It's not going to happen. But he put out a statement today on social media, if I can find it here today. I think he's got two of them, right, Matt? Yeah, that's what he's got, like his Senator Fetterman account, and then he's got his John Fetterman account. I can't keep up with all these people that have their freaking different accounts. Like, could you just get one account and end it? You know what I mean? Just get one account and end it. Here's what he said. Today, I'm celebrating the Laken-Riley Act being signed into law. I believe a secure border creates a more secure nation, and it's just common sense. I believe a stronger border is fully compatible with my commitment to immigration. I also believed our nation should protect our dreamers. I also believe the nation is tired of leaders in D.C. prioritizing fighting over governing. I believe Pennsylvania elected me to fight for a better Commonwealth and to work with both sides of the aisle. There you go. John Fetterman saying that. Now, don't expect much more from John Fetterman, but hey, look, you take what you can get. You know what I mean? You take what you can get from this guy. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. If you are hoping, if you're one of those people hoping that John Fetterman's somehow going to become a Republican, do not hold your breath. His power lies in being a Democrat. It really does. That's where his power lies. And he wants to chart a new course now, as being one of the rational, reasonable Democrats from the early 90s. So he's going away from Bernie Sanders and his onesie display, and he's trying to go back to a different time, like the Clinton time, basically. You know what I mean? That's really what it comes down to. But I just think that you can't trust the guy. Fetterman's all about Fetterman, but take the win where you can get it, and there you go.
I think the gist of what you were trying to say today is,
yes,
you're really pro-vaccine. You want to ask questions.
Right.
You have started a group called the Children's Health Defense. You're the originator.
He left the
right
group.
Right now, as I understand it, on their website, they are selling what's called onesies. These are little things, clothing for babies. One of them is titled Unfaxed, Unafraid. Next one, and they're sold for $26 a piece, by the way. Next one is
why?
No
by
vax.
The way, why does the price of the onesie matter? $26 for I have three kids. Yeah, that's not that far off. I didn't buy them these onesies, but like, is Bernie outraged that the onesies have a price tag? He's like, you know, if it's up to me, I believe onesies are a human right. Mr. Kennedy, say it with me now. Onesies for babies should be a universal human right. Do you agree? Yes or no? I could get the Pride onesies at Target were like $4. And there was outrage. These are $26 for a thing this kid's going to poop in and outgrow in like 10 minutes. Which, I mean, you know, in Bernie's defense, he has a point. I know I said I wasn't going to play that. I just can't help it.
Now, you're coming before this committee and you say you're pro-vaccine. Just want to ask some questions. And yet your organization is making money selling a child's product to parents for $26, which casts fundamental doubt on the usefulness of vaccines. Can you tell us now that you will, now that you are pro-vaccine, that you're going to have your organization take these products off the market?
Senator, I have no power over that organization. I'm not part of it. I resigned from the board.
Yeah, that was just a few months ago. You founded that. You certainly have power. You can make that call. Are you supportive of this?
I've had nothing to do with
leadership.
Are you
supportive of these onesies?
I'm supportive of vaccines.
Are you supportive of this clothing, which is militantly anti-vaccine?
I am supportive of vaccines. Right. I want good science, and I want to protect
the
But
you will not tell the organization you founded not to continue selling that product. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I love too, like, if it was a onesie that said, my gender, or like, I haven't decided my gender yet, or a onesie that said, like, with an arrow saying, chop it off, pointing down. But Bernie would be all on board with that. He'd be like, this is a sign of progress, and in a bargain, $26, gender neutral. But so stupid. I mean, it really was. The other highlight today was Senator Tillis asking Kennedy, are you a conspiracy theorist? I thought, Kennedy just hit this one out of the park, really did. As I mentioned earlier in the show today, I think all of us have one point or another in the last 5 years been labeled a conspiracy theorist. Ever since COVID, if you challenge anything in COVID, you were a conspiracy nut. Nowadays, I don't think you can dismiss anything. I really don't. Nothing. Nothing. Dismiss nothing. And I look, and I, and you know, I, you know, I love me some Caroline Leavitt. I love me some Donald Trump. I still have my doubts about the whole UFO thing. The whole hover thing over the sky. I'm just saying. I don't know. My spidey sense is up on this. Probably a national security thing, but I don't know. I got my doubts. But anyway, I thought RFK Jr. handled himself really well here. Take a listen.
I believe, addressed to my satisfaction a question about Title 10 and the president's priority with respect to Planned Parenthood. Can you just affirm that you are 100% behind the president's policy on Title 10 and the implementation?
Yeah, I'm 100% behind it, sir.
Thank you. You know, it's amazing to me that people, well, first off, you need to understand I was in a judiciary hearing this morning. It's very clear to me that some of these nominations are going to be shirts and skins. So no matter what you answer in the affirmative, they're going to ask you one more question so that you won't be able to answer in the affirmative. That's just the way the game gets played when we have anomaly.
But, you know, actually, that makes you another good point. Cash Patel and Tulsi Gabbard, it is going to be shirts and skins. I mean, it's going to be all Republicans versus all Democrats, and then a couple Republicans breaking ranks with the Democrats. That's what's going to happen, and voting with the Democrats. I mean, you know that. And there was a story, forgive me if I didn't mention this earlier in the show, I meant to, but a story that says that Wall Street Journal, you know, they want to take her down. As a rising political star, Gabbard paid to mask her secret sex ties to alleged scheme. Sect is an S-E-C-T, not sex. I don't think she had any secret sex. I don't think she had any public sex. I'm just—it's a sect. Her sects. This is not an easy word to say. Ties to alleged scheme. Years before Tulsi Gabbard became Trump's pick to coordinate U.S. spy agency, she tried to evade unwanted scrutiny. Anyway, so it is going to be shirts and skins, and Cash Patel's tomorrow, and then Gabbard's coming up, and then we're going to have to deal with that. So, you know, it's going to be a battle. But here's what the senator was continuing. Are you a conspiracy theorist?
Well, I got a real quick question for you. Are you a conspiracy theorist?
That is a pejorative, Senator, that's applied to me, mainly to keep me from asking difficult questions of powerful interest. I was told that I was a conspiracy theorist. That label was applied to me because I said that the vaccines, the COVID vaccine, didn't prevent transmission and it wouldn't prevent infection when the government was telling people, Americans, that it would. I was saying that because I was looking at the monkey studies in May of 2020. I was called a conspiracy. Now everybody admits it. I was called a conspiracy theorist because I said red dye caused cancer. And now FDA has acknowledged that and banned it. I was called a conspiracy theorist because I said fluoride lowered IQ. Last week, JAMA published a meta review of 87 studies saying that there's a direct inverse correlation between IQ loss.
All right. So I'm going to assume
I can go on for about a week.
Is there any one of them that you can say, you got me? That really was a conspiracy theory? Or are you in a position to submit for the record? I think it'd just be helpful for every one of these narratives for you to submit that maybe for the record.
Good for him, by the way, for standing up. I see, and this is one of the things that I made a point of saying repeatedly, which is that Bobby Kennedy gives cover to people who've also been called conspiracy theorists. And so does Trump, because you're not afraid to challenge conventional norms. Two things I want to mention to you. There's a movie coming out. Two movies I want to just quickly mention. One is the new Captain America movie, where you heard the actor Anthony Mackie said Captain America doesn't necessarily represent America. And that annoyed the hell out of me because, you know, I love Captain America. I mean, I'm a total nerd with this stuff. I love it. I love Captain America and I'm bummed about this. I mean, even Chris Evans, who played the original Captain America character in the Marvel, he's a wacko lefty. Even he didn't say crap like that. Anyway, he's issued a clarification today, saying that he's a proud American. I have the utmost respect for those who serve and have served our country. But he did say that Captain America has universal characteristics that people all over the world can relate to. There you go. I think the bottom line is this, is that they got to make movies. They got to make money overseas. And, you know, they got to make money in China. And, you know, that's really what it is. I don't know. I don't know if I'm I don't know what to say. And Harrison Ford's in it. He plays the president who turns into a Purple Hulk. I don't know. I have my thoughts on it. But there's another movie coming out called Pedo Hunters. And it's a Daily Caller movie. And the trailer dropped today. This is interesting. It's coming out on January 17th.
In the last 3 years, over 150 groups have sprung up featuring average Joes trying to catch predators online.
Taking on the task of trying to protect kids, parents feeling compelled to take matters into their own hands.
Sitting in the car and we watched the guy walk up to Walmart and we just were stunned. Like, this is actually happening. This is real life.
Once you tell them the age, you know, a lot of guys converge over and, you know, want to meet up.
Let's start telling the truth.
Bad guy's in a prayer position on the ground with the gun like this, and I'm like digging my chin in the back of his neck.
Excuse me, everybody! This man right here is a pedophile!
My name's Joshua Mundy, and I catch child predators.
Chris Hansen, who was the guy who used to do the whole thing with, I'm Chris Hansen. He would show up at your house, the house, not your house. I don't think you were one of them. He showed up at the house of pedophiles. You remember that whole thing? Well, so that used to be like mainstream television, to catch a predator. That was like a mainstream TV. Then that also became a conspiracy theory once Trump got involved, because they said, oh, well, you know, Trump and he likes the QAnon and the pedophiles and blah, 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 blah. Well, but we have 300,000 plus children missing in this country. How many of them are in sex trafficking? I mean, sex trafficking is a real thing. It's a horror. It's a crime. It is a crime against humanity, but it's a real thing. Anyway, I just thought I'd mention those two movies for you. I'm putting all my hope in the new Superman movie that's coming out. Although there's a lot of blowback over, I don't know if you saw they had the trailer for it the other day, and they said Superman's eyes will go googly, and then the director, James Gunn, had to qualify that it's not CGI on his face. But anyway, I love Superman, especially if they keep consistent with the whole I stand for truth, justice, and the American way. Sign me up, baby. The new trailer does look pretty good, though. I'm just saying. Remember, I have a 10-year-old son. Okay, so as I try to share my life with you, I was really hoping to take my son to see Captain America. And as long as the movie is not anti-America, I will probably take him to see it, because I can't let these stars' lefty views get in the way of me bonding with my son over these things. It's like the same thing. Somebody sent an email today about how, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs are more MAGA than the Eagles. What, are we going to not root for the Eagles because the freaking Chiefs are more MAGA, apparently? Like, no, I just have to stay out of it. You know, I just have to keep those two things in my life separate. That may not be your choice. You may choose to do something differently with your life. It's okay. I understand. I get it. It's not an easy answer. It's very controversial. I get it. But I don't tell you what to do with your life, and I don't think you should tell me what to do with my life. Not that you're trying to anyway. I'm just teasing. All right. I got to get out of here. I got to go and take my medication. But I hope you have a great rest of your night tonight. Of course, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla is up next. Enjoy the rest of the night. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. And wait, what? One clip I got to ask. Can I just play one clip of Trump before I go from today, earlier today? No problem. Here we go.
We've gathered this afternoon to take another historic action. However, in a few moments, the Laken-Riley Act will become the very first bill that I proudly sign into law as the 47th president.
There you go. Listen, I pay attention to the comments on X, to my requests. It's a big deal today. This was a big deal. Like, stop talking about movies. Talk about the Laken-Riley Act.
Laken was a brilliant and beautiful 22-year-old nursing student from Georgia, the best in her class. She was always the best. They would say, Laken, how do you do this? And what do you do? They were always asking her questions. She was respected by everybody, even her teachers. They respected her so much. From the time she was in first grade, Laken knew she wanted to spend her time caring for others. That's what she did. To her friends and classmates, she was a light of warmth and kindness in every single room. To her parents and family, she was everything in the world. They've had a miserable period of time. Just after 9 a.m. last February 22nd, Lakin went out for a jog on the campus of the University of Georgia, but she was just never returned. She never came back, did she, huh? Parents are here, sister, all of her relatives. While on her run, Lakin was attacked, viciously assaulted, beaten, brutalized, and murdered by an illegal alien gang member who was set loose into our country by the last administration. We are deeply honored to be joined today by Lakin's parents, Allison and John, and her sister, Lauren. Thank you very much.
It was a big deal. It was a very, very big deal today at the White House. No question about it. Have a great rest of your night. Thanks for listening to the show. I'll see you tomorrow.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.